It was the darkest watch of the darkest night. The shepherds needed to pay attention and guard the sheep from predators. They were hard workers. In dry, arid Palestine, it was a full-time, stressful job to protect the sheep and provide them with enough food and water. The owner of the flock demanded strict accounting of every sheep. He expected healthy sheep and sheep that reproduced fruitfully. It was a dark time for the Jews, and the shepherds were Jews. Rome occupied the land. The promise of the Pax Romana seemed empty. Violence was on every corner. Crucifixes could be seen from almost anywhere on almost any given day. Taxes were high and earnings were low. Life was hard, dusty, hot, and dangerous. The tensions in the Jewish community were high. What was going to happen to us? What can we do about the fact that we are in occupied land? Do we fight? Do we pray? Do we strictly obey the laws? Or do we do all of the above? What do we do with those who collaborate with Rome? What do we do with those who take financial advantage of the situation? What do we do with those who follow another way? What do we do with those among us who are foreigners? How do we relate to the Herods and to the Pilates? Do we work with them to ensure our safety? How far should we accommodate? What about their temples? And what about their gods? The leaders formed different political and religious factions, and they argued amongst themselves in the synagogues, in the homes, and on the streets. And if there had been cable news shows, they would have argued there too. Messiahs were a dime a dozen, each one proclaiming to be the one who was going to rescue Israel, each one ending up on the edge of a sword or nailed to a wooden crossbeam. Each one raised the hopes of some for a brief time, then faded away into nothingness, the nothingness of empty promises, again and again and again. And the average Jew remained poor and confused, with no voice, no influence, carried along by events out of their control. And that was especially true if you were handicapped, disabled, ill, a slave, a woman, or a shepherd. Into the darkness of that night, the angel appeared. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of great joy. Everyone will be included. Today, tonight, the Savior has been born. He is Messiah. He is Lord. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Something has happened tonight that changes everything for everybody." And then the background choir appeared. "Glory to God in the highest," they sang. "And on earth peace, goodwill to men." Glory. Webster gives a bit of a strange definition to glory, seems to me. Something that secures praise or renown, something marked by beauty or resplendence, a state of great gratification or exaltation, a state of prosperity or achievement, something beautiful, awesome, exalted, important, powerful. It's not so much something you do for another, it's something that you are, something that happens. This is glory. It's beautiful and it's spectacular and it's bright. And it's awesome. Glory to God in the highest. The Jews, of course, believed in God. They believed there was a God in the highest that cared for them. And the angels just confirmed that word, that we are not alone in the cosmos. We are not alone on this earth. We are not alone in the darkness. There is a God. There is a person. There is a Creator who made everything and made us and made you and made me. And that means that whether it's bright sunlight outside or deep darkness in the middle of the night, none of us is alone. My favorite theologian, Frederick Buechner, writes this about God. It's impossible for man to demonstrate, it is as impossible for man to demonstrate the existence of God as it would be for even Sherlock Holmes to demonstrate the existence of Arthur Conan Doyle. In the last analysis, you cannot pontificate, but only point. A Christian is one who points at Christ, who points at this glory and says, I can't prove a thing, but there's something about his eyes and his voice. There's something about the way he carries his head, his hands, the way he carries his cross, the way he carries me. And what do these angels say? What is their message? On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And some Bible versions, this one, puts a comma there. I find that very interesting. On earth, peace. Can you imagine these angels, this choir of angels in the deepest part of this dark night, being above the earth and saying to the earth, saying to these shepherds and to the whole earth, on earth, peace. A word coming from out there, down here, on earth, peace. And not just the absence of wars or violence or abuse or words that sting and kill. No, shalom, well-being, fullness, having everything you need to be completely yourself. And remember, no one is completely him or herself until everyone is him or herself. It's not just about you, this peace. It's for all of us. Everybody to the farthest corners of the world. And that's the end of the song, goodwill toward men. And this word goodwill, as it's in the original text, is a word that has the similar basic structure as the word for glory. It's as if a beautiful poem or song lyric closes on the same linguistic note. The glory that we just talked about coming from heaven. Awesomeness, brilliance, wonderfulness, exalting is not now just from heaven. No, it's for you and it's for me. God's glory marked by beauty and resplendence, a state of exaltation and gratification has now come upon men and women, all men and women, everywhere. There's no distinctions anymore. What is your night like right now? Some of us are going through things pretty well. We have our issues, of course, but in general, not too much to complain about. And at this time of year, we experience extra love and joy and peace. And that is absolutely fantastic. Go for it. Take it all. Enjoy to the fullest. For others of us, these are particularly dark times, especially the Christmas season. We all know about that. There's the pain of missing loved ones. There's the pain of broken relationships and people that won't be at the dinner table or people that you wish wouldn't be at the dinner table. Struggles with health, struggles with mental health, with the career that won't get off the ground. Not to mention the country and world in which we live. Tensions are high, just as in the time of the Jews, in the time of the shepherds. Politics divides, power corrupts, Profit trumps morality. Violence appears daily on our screens. 1 in 4 Americans is impacted by incarceration. The drug epidemic runs rampant. Religious groups compete. We're ruining the environment. The rich and powerful eat up the world's resources and leave scraps for the poor, while islands sink under the rising waters. And in the darkness of our world, the darkness of your world, the darkness of our world, the angel chorus comes and sings, "Glory to God in the highest, awesomeness, awesomeness, awesomeness. You are not alone. We are not alone. On earth, peace. This Jesus that came literally and personally and globally and cosmically brings us peace and goodwill to each and every one of you and yours." Let's pray together. Lord, help us in this Christmas season, whether we're in a dark night or whether we're going along pretty well, which is just absolutely great. Help us to be impacted in one way or another by what the angels have said and what they proclaimed and what happened on that Christmas day, that God himself became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his glory and we saw his grace and we saw his truth. And that gives us a foundation upon which to stand in this world in which you've placed us. Encourage us, draw us to you, give us your peace, and then help us in every way we can to be peacemakers in any way we can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to sing Hark the Herald Angels.